There will be a church fellowship time after the service today. So if you are able to stay, please stay. And maybe you'll want to stay just for the enjoyment of seeing Steve corrected on how many years it actually has been. And so I'm sure that's going to be an active means of correction that'll take place. I do know how long I've been married, and that tomorrow is our anniversary, and it will be 35 years for us tomorrow. So, not all of it has been easy. There's been difficult days, and I'm sure that you know that in your own life and experience, and that only the grace of God has got me this far. I was watching that video this morning before the service. I'd watched it a couple times before that. And it choked me up again this morning. Just the pursuit of somebody over 20 years, the faithfulness and the grace of God, to experience the grace of God for those 20 years. Because I'm sure there was times in their life and ministry where they said, is it worth it? Especially when they faced roads of probably rejection, times of discouragement. And as they, and as Tim Whatley in this video, I think most of us know who he is because he's spoken here at the church, gave testimony to the fact of supporters. Of all of a sudden, somebody sending a letter. And often, in those days it was letters, now it's texts, it's emails or whatever. You don't know when all of a sudden your letter is going to speak and give strength to somebody that needs it at that exact time. And so what a blessing that we, the church, can be if we just answer to the call of God on our lives. God, you laid this person upon my heart, and you must have laid them upon my heart for a reason. I need to write them or whatever. So what an encouragement. And then all the different roles that God has for us in his ministry field. I wanted to continue on with our series of the I Am series, I Am the Light of the World, as we come to the second one here in our series out of John chapter 8. From our earliest days, light has been an importance in our lives. We've grown in our appreciation for light. Remember back to those early days when we had that nightlight, and maybe you got to experience the days of a nightlight. When I was growing up, I don't know if they were even around at that time, but we had a hallway light, and I had to make sure that hallway light was on because that was an importance to me because my bedroom was in the basement. And every squeak in that basement sent terror through me, and I had to know what was coming if all of a sudden I was going to be attacked. And so I appreciated that hallway light. That hallway light also gave me opportunity to go out and lay in the hallway and read my book to all hours of the night too. And so I was blessed by that as well. But light has grown in importance to us. Maybe you have attempted to navigate through the dark in your house, especially when you get up in the middle of the night, and you're not going to wake anybody else up, and so you don't turn any of the lights on, and you seek to navigate. And what is the first thing that lets you know that something moved? Isn't it always your little toe? All of a sudden it finds something that you thought should have been somewhere else. Or there's been times when the power has gone out, and the first thought that goes through your mind is, where did I leave that flashlight? And then you're hunting around the house to where you left the flashlight. The second thing that goes through your mind is, when are they going to get this power back on? And we have grown to depend upon it, and that the flick of a switch is so convenient for us. See, the Jewish people were celebrating an event called the Feast of Tabernacles in their life. And so as we come to chapter 8 here, we see in the midst of this chapter here. In fact, John breaks it up in here with the first 11 verses, and even the last verse of chapter 40 is not even found in the old manuscripts. And so it's like he breaks the account here. But then in verse 12, he gets back to the account of the Feast of Tabernacles. And at this Feast of Tabernacles, which was held in the court of the women, and every evening they would light some candelabras. Now, one account said there's 3 candelabras. Others said there's more than that. So we're not sure how many exact candelabras were lit. But the account that was written for us is that this light would light far beyond the temple courts, and it would go out and people would see this light. And this was part of their celebrations that they enjoyed. They were remembering the pillar of fire that God had given to them as they led them through the wilderness. And so the Feast of Tabernacles was a celebration, a remembrance of what God had done for them in through the wilderness experience. Yes, through the years, they had gotten into tradition, into different traditions. And maybe even some of them didn't even understand all of what took place. It was just a form and ritual for them. And during this occasion, Jesus made a bold pronouncement for them. And so if you have your Bibles open now to John chapter 8, let's begin reading at verse 12, and we'll read through to verse 20. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So they were saying to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would obey my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Verse 20 gives us the location of this announcement, and it was a specific place in the court of the women. And in this court, it says he spoke in the treasury. For it was in the court of the women that had 13 receptacles for people to receive their offering. People could give and this. And each of these receptacles was in the shape of a trumpet. And so in this location would have been the trumpet that they would have given their obligatory temple tax, but also the discretionary giving as well would be in this location. Thus, it was named as the spoke in the treasury or the court of the women. So everyone would have opportunity to be able to give. Jesus' use of the I am statement would have triggered the people's thinking back to Moses at the burning bush. And so when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," even to use that word in the original, the people, it would have triggered the people's thoughts. They would have remembered back to the burning bush experience. When in Exodus 3 verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And thus you see the reaction of the leaders there of when Jesus gave this statement. For he was giving a clear testimony to the people of who he was. For the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament uses the same words as what we find here in verse 12. When he says, "I am," he was bearing testimony that he was the Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord. It means that God is the eternal, self-existent, ever-present, covenant-keeping God of holiness, love, and grace who pursues relationship. That's who he is bearing testimony of who he was. When he says, "I am," he was bearing testimony that he was Jehovah, he was God. There was no question in the minds of the listeners of who Jesus was claiming to be. They came face to face with a choice. Would they accept Jesus for who he says he is, or would they reject him? And we are brought to the same place. What will we do with Jesus? When we come to that same phrase in our own selves, when we see the expression, "I am the light of the world," what is going to be our reaction? What is going to be our response to that as we see what their response was to him? But Jesus was not finished in that he gave clarity in who he is. He is the light of the world. He used a term that they would have been familiar with at a time when they would have had their minds on the subject. And so Jesus took opportunity at this time to speak to them of that he was the light of the world. They would have understood the need of light, but here Jesus is laying claim to the exclusivity of the light, but also to the fact that this light is universal in the sense that it is not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Whenever you see in the Word of God the use of the word "the" before, what it's speaking of is that there's only one, and it was exclusive. And here, Jesus is seeking to tell the people there is only one light, and that it is held in its essence. It's part of my character. Jesus states that He is the light. It is a light that stands alone and can be found in no one else, and is a light that dispels the darkness and is life. One of the purposes of light is to dispel darkness and bring clarity to the fact that there are only two paths here. There is either the path walking in the light, or there is the path of walking in the darkness. What choice? In fact, they don't even need to make a choice, because unless we make the deliberate choice to seek to reach out and to walk in the light, we've already made the choice that we will be walking in darkness. This would have been a grating proposition in that they stood upon the teachings of Moses as the chosen people of God. And so thus they thought and believed that they had a chosen position in God's eyes here. And Jesus was saying, if you reject the light, you have rejected the truth and you're walking in darkness. One of the purposes of Jesus as the light of the world is to shine and reveal the deeds of mankind. As much as we may think that no one else knows what we are doing in secret, the truth is that our deeds will be exposed by the light for what they truly are, as we see in John 3, 19 to 21. The light is revealed, and the light reveals the natures of our hearts, and God is not hidden from God, because He is the light, and everything will be revealed. The light brings clarity to what is in the light and what is in darkness. Jesus, as the light, is the light of the world, and that He came that His light might be for all mankind, not just the Jewish people. And as much as they would like to think that they were special in God's eyes, and they are special in God's eyes, but one of the purposes that God gave to them was that they might reveal His light to the world. Jesus gave them that responsibility, and they failed to carry that forward. Jesus has given His church the mandate of carrying His light to the world, as we see in Acts 26, 15 through 18. God has given us the responsibility. In fact, this is one of the only I am statements where it turns it back upon us, where it says that I am the light of the world, but He's given us the responsibility of carrying His light to the world as well. The world has no other light than Him. It is Jesus or darkness. There is no other light in the world. And so unless the people of God, the children of God, carry His light to the world, how will they hear? How will they see the light unless you carry the light of the gospel to the world? Unless we are burdened for the people that God has put in our lives, that we might be able to share His light to those around us. God has uniquely placed you into a community that only you can reach. And thus we have a responsibility to carry His light to the world. One day this world will be filled with the light of Jesus and nothing else. All the darkness will be removed, and we can look forward to that time in the eternal kingdom of God, where there will be no need for any other light source except for Him. And He will be the light of that city, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. Until then, the verse continues with, "He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." The person who makes the choice to go in the same way and direction with Him will not walk in darkness. And so here we see a prophetic promise that God gives us. If we decide that to follow Him, then He says, you will not walk in darkness. And thus we see the strength of the wording that is used, that there leaves no doubt for us. The first thing in following Jesus is a cleaving to Him in genuine, heartfelt, not just head knowledge, trust, coming in faith and repentance to Him. If we're going to seek to follow Him, then we first of all need to come in faith and repentance before Him. God, I need You. And God, I want to follow You. And so it comes to a cleaving to Him. The second thing in following is following His leading. To follow Jesus is to commit ourselves wholly and entirely to Him as our only leader
and Savior, and to submit ourselves to him in every matter, both of doctrine and practice. We are not to follow anyone or anything else but him. Since he is the light, we will have no trouble knowing the direction to follow. And the language that Jesus uses leaves no room for doubt on his truth. Jesus has given us a prophetic promise. He does not say the road will be easy. He does not say the road will be necessarily in worldly success. That's not what he says here. But he says that we will be able to walk in his light in the direction that he takes us. The word not is a double negative for added emphasis. And so let us be clear there. There is no room for questioning. There is no room for doubt when he makes this promise to us. When he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. And so we will have the light, his light, to walk in whatever road he has for us. It follows that if we are continually following the one who is the essence of light, we cannot walk in darkness. Because darkness is in essence the absence of light. Darkness has no existence outside of light, at least in the human terms here. There is such a thing because sin entered the world that there is such a thing as darkness now. And when mankind is walking in darkness, they are walking in the absence of God, the absence of the light, his light. And so we have a promise that God has given to us. The natural man stumbles and gropes about in this world. He walks in darkness, ignorant of real life now and eternal darkness in the hereafter. We have been called out of this darkness into his marvelous light. The verse ends with a contrast to darkness being the light of life. We possess the supernatural life of God today, as we find in Colossians 3 verse 4, and forever, 1 John 3 verse 2. This deliverance is not just a rescue from darkness and a glimpse of the light, but an ongoing life apart from darkness through possession of the light of life. And so when we have made a decision to be a follower of God, we are walking in the light that he has given to us. It is a present reality for us. It's not something that we need to eagerly await one day when we get to heaven. We can walk in the light today, his light that he has given to us. The light is a medium of illumination that makes sight possible or makes things visible. When we fellowship with the Lord, meditate on the word, and obey what he commands, God's light shines in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Do we understand that? When we are seeking to follow him, we have the privilege of walking in the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What a joy, what a privilege we have been given. We not only learn more about Christ, but we also become more like Christ, transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, the Spirit. The most important part of our lives is the part that only God sees, our daily worship time with him. And to ignore that privilege or treat it carelessly will cause us gradually to go from heavenly sunshine into earthly shadows. When we make a decision, God, today, I want to seek to follow you. Wherever you lead, wherever that may be, God, will you just give me the empowering strength, your strength, to walk in the direction that you would have me to walk? Then we get to enjoy a fellowship and get to experience his glory and displayed in his face. Oh, that we would look forward. God, as Psalm 27 verse 4 says, all I want to do is just enter your temple and stare upon you. May that be the cry of our hearts. God, I want to see you. Jesus watched as the Jewish religious leaders lit the festal lamps each night, but the light did not transform anybody. The people were guilty of trying to find their illumination from another source, and they had the light of the world in their presence. It would be easy to rebuke them, but are we not guilty of doing the same thing? We seek illumination from other sources and usually put more trust in those sources than we do in the light of the Word of God. They were seeking to find their illumination through these lamps as a traditional thing, probably having little meaning in their lives. But we do the same thing. We chase after our illumination from all other sources and different sources. Instead of going to the author, the creator, God, who gives us life. Are we guilty of going to other sources before carrying out our concern to the creator and the sustainer of life? Because he is our life and holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he should be the first one we seek. And so when trials and difficulties come, is he the first one that we go to, whatever concerns? I'm not denying the fact that God has enabled other individuals with wisdom as well, that we need to seek out. I'm not denying that fact. But where do we go for our wisdom first? What is their source of knowledge? And where do we go and seek to find that? His light is a living light that can never be quenched and is not dependent upon anything. We are given his light, which gives us life and is life-giving. We have not only been given life, but we have been given it abundantly, as John 10:10 says. And that's what he desires to give. The light has been given to us by the hand of a gracious Savior, and it will never be removed. The light of life, his hand, his gift to us, it is what he has given to us. And we hold that because of his gracious hand to us. The life of following him is described as a walk. The word that John uses describes walking all around. I think the word, Greek word, is peripateo. It means to walk all around. It means two simple steps repeated over and over again is the kind of the picture that we get. Because he seeks to describe the life that we live as walking. It means he's picturing a life of endurance, the need for endurance in our lives. Because sometimes the road that we walk or we have with him in walking is not an easy road. It's a difficult road. And so what he wants us to picture, a successful, consistent movement that begins when we choose to follow, but also when we continue to choose to follow wherever he may lead us. The following does not involve making the decision of direction, but pictures a life of submission. And so when we decide to follow, it's not, God, I'm willing to follow you as long as it's here or there. As long as, we remember that famous song that was saying, Lord, don't send me to Africa. As long as you don't send me to Africa, then I'm willing to follow. And often we make bargains, and we seek to make bargains with God. And here is what he's wanting us to do is, God, I know that in your empowering grace, wherever you have for me, then I will have the joy of going with you in the light that you give. Most of us are content to follow if we can dictate the direction of travel or negotiate the terms. For some of us, we will follow him through some deep waters, and we will look back with envy on all that we had before. And we know that the Israelite in the wilderness looked with envy back to their days in Egypt when they had all that great food. And we do the same thing in our own lives as well. We look back with envy. Man, if I only had not followed, then I would have enjoyed this or maybe this or whatever. We have the assurance that if we follow Jesus, it will not be in darkness. This assurance comes from Jesus himself. Yes, we don't know the road that God has for us. And many of us, that's why we enjoyed the Connect, enjoyed the stories of the seniors, because they have walked a difficult road. And the young kids here in our church need to hear that, their stories. And our seniors, you've got an opportunity to be a blessing to our younger kids, because God has taken you through some opportunities, and you have seen the faithfulness of God through those opportunities. And our young people need to hear those stories, because they're going to walk through some difficult roads ahead. And they need to remember your story and say, God was faithful to that person, and I'm sure he's going to be faithful to me. Yes, we rest on the word of God and in the word of God. But yet, isn't it great to have personal illustrations that we can look upon and remember? Thus far, God has been faithful. And so I speak to us, all of us seniors here that have been and had great opportunities to see God's faithfulness. Would you live out your story, the light that God has given to you before a younger generation? Would you seek to develop relationships with our younger generation? So let me just get personal here with you just for a moment. There is a senior in this congregation who sought to reach out to my granddaughter. What a blessing that she's this all of a sudden. Can I just have the privilege of talking to your granddaughter? Now my granddaughter looks forward to this person because that person reached out. The person I'm speaking to is not here this morning, but what a blessing that senior has sought to just say hi, fellowship, see what that younger person is doing, build relationship. My granddaughter looks forward to those conversations that she can have with her. So seniors, you have a purpose here in this congregation. You have a story to tell to the world.
of God's faithfulness. And our younger generation needs to hear that story. Each of the disciples followed him, and all but John was martyred. Out of the 12 disciples, 11 of them walked through some difficult roads ahead. But they were able to do it because of the light that God gave and that they were able to follow. We can walk in the light as we see 1 John 1, verse 7. We can walk in wisdom, of Colossians 4, verse 5. We can walk in love, Ephesians 5, verse 2. We can walk in good works, Ephesians 2, verse 10, because of the light that he gives. And we can bear testimony to the world. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 shares this with us. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bucket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You have opportunity to bear witness of the light as you seek to follow him, because others are going to see that light as you bear testimony of it in the communities that God has placed you. It might be going to your neighbor, as simple as going to your neighbor. Neighbor's on holidays. Well, maybe I can put out his garbage can for him. He's going to be gone. Maybe it could be as simple as doing that. Or maybe you know your neighbor's going to be gone. I'm going to cut his lawn for him because I know he's going to be gone. That I might be a blessing to them. Or maybe it might be understanding that your neighbor is sick or ill. And so I'm going to take a meal over to that person. Let God lay upon your hearts the ways that you can be and display his light to your community as we seek to follow him. Or maybe it's just, God, here I am. I want to be a follower of yours. I'm placing myself in your hands to lead, and I want to follow wherever that may be, and to let God lead you to where he would have you to be and to serve. Whether that be in your community, or maybe it means moving to a different house in your community, wherever that may be, if we seek to let God lead. There was a line used in many commercials a few years ago, and I've asked a few people, and none of them remember this, and so I may be dating myself really badly with this statement. But there, in a lot of advertisements, they used to use a phrase, and they said, "We'll leave the light on for you." And I think hotels maybe use that in some of their advertising. "We're going to leave the light on for you," meaning that they're a welcoming place to come out of the darkness. And you can be that in your community. Will you leave your light on in your community? In your workplace? That God would have you to be a light to that person that you're working with? And that he might open up a door of opportunity for you to be able to share the gospel with somebody. Or to share words of encouragement, words of blessing. And even as we go into this time here of fellowship, leave your light on. Because you are going to be able to meet and rub shoulders with somebody who's going to need that light to hear and be encouraged by what you have to say. Or maybe you can be an encouragement to them. May that be our prayer as we follow in the light that Jesus gives, that we might display his light. As we go out of here this morning, may we bear testimony of his light as we're walking out of darkness in his light this morning. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Let me just thank the Lord for this food that we're about to partake of. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have come as the light of the world, that we have the joy of walking in your light, wherever that may be, out of the darkness, knowing that if we're walking in your light, you're going with us. It's a truth that we see in between the lines here. We have the blessing of your presence. And so, Heavenly Father, allow us opportunities to display your light into the communities and the mission fields that you have placed each of us in. Now, as we go into this time of fellowship, may you give us opportunity to be that encouragement and blessing to one another. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this food, and thank you for those who spent so much time preparing it. For praying this in your name, amen. God bless. We'll look forward to this time of fellowship shortly.